Welcome to our video worship today, this Sunday, the 23rd of January. You are very welcome, wherever you are, whoever you are, however you're feeling today. We gather together in this week of prayer for Christian unity, and on Monday there will be a service on Zoom to mark that week of prayer, as we gather together across different places, different denominations, united in our love for our God in Christ. Can I tell you about a few other things that will be happening? There'll be the Wednesday evening prayers, Wednesday, 10 o'clock, as there has been nearly every Wednesday since March 2020. Many people gathering for a moment of prayer, a word of scripture, and a blessing at the end of the day. 10 o'clock on Wednesdays, live on Facebook. Next Sunday is a fifth Sunday of the month, when we often do something a little different. And on Sunday, the 30th, at 11 o'clock, there's going to be the Sunday gathering on Zoom. And an invitation is extended to all around our churches and communities. It'll be in the wake of Burns Night, and we're going to have some music, some songs. There's going to be some fun, some different activities, something for all ages. We'll use the breakout rooms. You're all welcome, and I hope you'll stick your camera on so that we can see you, and maybe even unmute at times so we can hear you and have a wee bit of interaction. But if you want just to watch what's going on, that's okay. Join in whatever way you want. 11 o'clock on Zoom, the Sunday Gathering, aksm.org.uk/the Sunday Gathering, and it's linked there from the main front page of our website. Different ways in which we proclaim the good news of Jesus. And that's what we're thinking about today, as we remember that time when Jesus was in the temple, in the synagogue in Nazareth, and was reading from the words of the prophet Isaiah. But first, we're going to sing together. Sing along if you wish. We're going to sing number 204 in the hymn book, I Am the Church, You Are the Church, We Are the Church Together.
The church is not helping. Father, we praise you for sending your Son, your Anointed One, to bring us the good news of your kingdom. A kingdom of love, where the oppressed and those held captive will find freedom. The weak will receive strength. The poor and needy will be cared for. Where peace and righteousness will abound, and joy and hope will flower for everyone. Your promise, your covenant, is everlasting. The victory has been won. Your kingdom is coming in. But as your body, we do not always abide by that covenant. We acknowledge that our thoughts, words, actions, and lack of action sometimes hinder the coming of your kingdom in all its fullness. Lord, have mercy. We do not always care for the poor and needy, or those on the margins of society, especially when they're out of sight. Christ, have mercy. We do not always spread joy and peace by our lives. Lord, have mercy. Father, forgive us our sins and help us to follow your Son, our Lord, more closely, that we may truly be his body on earth. Amen.
A reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, reading from verse 14. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, and the power of the Holy Spirit was with him. The news about him spread throughout all that territory. He taught in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. Then Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath, he went as usual to the synagogue. He stood up to read the scriptures and was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people." Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All the people in the synagogue had their eyes fixed on him as he said to them, "This passage of scripture has come true today as you heard it being read." They were all well impressed with him and marvelled at the eloquent words that he spoke. They said, "Isn't he the son of Joseph?" Amen. May God add his blessing to these words today. So, he's back. Mary's golden child. The carpenter's son. At least, he may be. The birth details were a wee bit, well, shall we say, a little sketchy. The local boy done well. He's made a name for himself. And so, when he stands to read and then sits to teach, we listen. After all, we're not close-minded folk. Words of comfort spill forth from the book of the prophet Isaiah. A good passage with its promises of a happy, heavenly hereafter, where even the ones clearly cursed by God find welcome relief and restoration. The year of the Lord's favour, it's a nice touch, time for jubilee and resetting the clock, settling old scores peacefully, redistributing resources. Yep, for those who didn't lift a finger, those who sat about and didn't work, it's all going to be good news in the great by and by. Of course we all want justice, but this side of heaven, we do what we need to get by, make our mark, give our children a good head start, a wee step up the ladder. After all, God helps those who help himself, who help themselves. And I've made very sure to help myself. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What? Now? Oh, I don't think so, son. Some of us have way too much to lose. How is this good news? Well, watch yourself, boy. That kind of talk will get you killed. And it would. And it did. There was Jesus reading the scriptures in the synagogue in Nazareth, following the tradition, the readings in the synagogue, as we continue to do in churches and on online videos and Zoom gatherings, hearing the words of scripture and allowing them to inspire, to encourage, as they have through the generations and will for the generations yet to come. Another reading suggested for today alongside that passage from Luke were some words from Nehemiah, from that time when God's people were returning from exile, re-establishing themselves back in Judah, in Jerusalem, building up the temple once again. But more importantly than building up the building, the temple, they were building up the people and recreating that identity as children of God. And central to that rebirth was the hearing of God's word. So let's hear some of those words from Nehemiah. Words from Nehemiah in chapter 8. By the seventh month, the people of Israel were all settled in their towns. On the first day of that month, they all assembled in Jerusalem, in the square just inside the water gate. They asked Ezra, the priest and scholar of the law, which the Lord had given Israel through Moses, to get the book of the law. So Ezra brought it to the place where the people had gathered, men, women, and the children who were old enough to understand. There in the square by the gate, he read the law to them from dawn until noon, and they all listened intently. As Ezra stood there on the platform high above the people, they all kept their eyes fixed on him. As soon as he opened the book, they all stood up. Ezra said, "Praise the Lord, the great God." All the people raised their arms in the air and answered, "Amen, Amen." They knelt in worship with their faces to the ground. They gave an oral translation of God's law and explained it so that the people could understand it. When the people heard what the law required, they were so moved that they began to cry. So Nehemiah, who was governor, Ezra, the priest and scholar of the law, and the Levites who were there, explained the law and told the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God, so you're not to mourn or cry. Now go home and have a feast. Share your food and wine with those who don't have enough. Today is holy to our Lord, so don't be sad. The joy that the Lord gives you will make you strong." Amen. The word of God in Nehemiah's time would bring encouragement and would move the people to tears and move them to action as they rediscovered that they were the children of God. In earlier times, the prophet Isaiah had brought words of encouragement. Words of encouragement that would see the people through these times of exile and into this new beginning. And it's from the prophet Isaiah that Jesus is reading when he visits the synagogue in Nazareth, in his hometown, near the beginning of his earthly ministry, his mission. And these ancient words from the prophet Isaiah take on a new significance as they're read by Jesus. They become not just ancient words. They become his mission statement, his manifesto, bringing good news to the poor, to the outcast, to the prisoner, bringing a time of jubilee, a new start, debts cancelled, a new beginning. They were encouraged as they heard these words from Jesus. One of them, the boy from Nazareth. Did you hear just at the end of that reading that maybe some of their thoughts were beginning to turn? Who does he think he is? Isn't this Joseph the carpenter's boy? And if you read on, you'll find that soon they had him run out of town. A prophet is never welcomed in their own town. And it can be difficult. Of course, it's difficult with our immediate neighbours, with those around about us. And yet that's what we are called to do. To continue the ministry, the mission of Jesus. The story continues, the ministry continues in our calling, our mission, our proclaiming of the good news. Church of Scotland at the moment, as we all know, going through a time of planning, a time of looking to new things. And one of the things that all the congregations have been asked to do is to look at defining what their mission is. The congregations of Ardgour and Strontian and Morvern have come up with a mission statement in five lines that very much echoes the five marks of mission, which have punctuated so much conversation around this kind of thinking for the last 20 or 30 years. The five marks of mission say to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, to teach, baptize, and nurture new believers, to respond to human needs by loving service, to transform unjust structures of society, to challenge violence of every kind, and pursue peace and reconciliation, and to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. Taking that as our basis, which echoes, of course, something of Jesus' words, something of the prophet Isaiah. So from Isaiah to Nehemiah, to Jesus, to the church, to you and me. So the mission statement that the congregations here came up with, and I know that Acharachol and Ardnamurchan came up with something very similar. Our mission is to serve and worship God, to awaken, develop and sustain meaningful faith, to show God's love in practical action, to challenge injustice and violence, and to care for God's creation. That's our mission, our purpose, as we continue the ministry begun in Jesus 2,000 years ago, but a living, real, purposeful faith to make a difference in and for the world. I mentioned at the beginning the Sunday gathering that will be happening next Sunday. Something different, something to engage others. And I hope that many of you will take the opportunity to tell others. Can you think of someone? Someone that you could say, why don't you come round to my house? We can still have three households together over the next week. We should be hearing more about the relaxation on some of those rules, but until the end of the month anyway. But we can have a few folk round, and maybe we could watch and engage in the Sunday gathering together. Maybe you could share the information online if you use Facebook. See and click the likes. Say that you're going. That will encourage other people to know that this is going to be an event where there'll be lots of folk together. Different ways, very different ways, in which we continue to share the same good news, the gospel of Christ, the hope and promise for the world of God's loving and continuing creation. As I was thinking on mission statements, on purpose and why we're here and what we should be doing, the words from a wonderful poem, Desiderata, came to mind. Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even to the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexatious to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble it is. A real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself, especially do not feign affection, neither be cynical about love. For in the face of aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. But do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive him to be. And whatever your labours and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul, with all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams. It is still a beautiful world. Strive to be happy. Amen. And may God bless these thoughts as we continue the ministry, the mission, the manifesto of Christ.
Lord, in this week of prayer for Christian unity, we pray for your church and for Christian leaders throughout the world, thinking of the many different lands, cultures, and climates in which your gospel light shines. We thank you that we have the freedom to worship this day. May we never take this freedom and privilege lightly. We pray for Christians who are persecuted for their faith. We pray for all who are working to bring about greater understanding and unity between the different sectors of your church. We are conscious that our sad divisions are wounds on your body, and we pray for healing. May we work together to proclaim your kingdom, a kingdom of justice and joy, where all may flourish and grow into their full potential, a kingdom of abundance and peace, where all may prosper and live without fear and shame, a kingdom of restoration and relationship, where all belong and everyone is welcome. We pray for all who desperately need to hear your good news of love, of liberation, of restoration, of relationship, of community. We pray for all held captive by poverty and want, by the burden of debt, by the fear of failure, by illness of body, mind, or spirit, by prison doors. We pray for all who are oppressed by totalitarian regimes, by corrupt governments, by systemic bullying in workplaces, homes or schools. We pray for all who are suffering, and at this time remember the people of Tonga and all others affected by the volcanic eruption and tsunami. In a few moments of silence, let us offer to God in prayer anyone in need known to us. As your people, help us to work for the coming of your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, bringing light, bringing hope, bringing joy, bringing love, bringing healing, wherever we are in our small corner of your world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And with our prayers, we bring our offerings as we think on the time, the talents, the money that we bring to help to continue that mission and ministry of Jesus. Let's pray. Bringer of good news, giver of gifts, in you there is freedom, with you there is hope. Transformer of lives, we bring our gifts to you, an offering from our lives and of our lives, that they and we may be used to continue to proclaim your good news, that all may be drawn to you. And hear us as we bring all our praying together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Thank you.
As our worship reaches its end, may you know of God's blessing from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with you, with all those you love and those you should love today, in all your tomorrows, and forever. Amen.